All right, welcome to Moadon Ivri, Club Hebrew. We're happy you guys could be here today. We are just getting to the very exciting part of our narrative. Way to go, Chris. I knew I could guilt you into coming. We're at 1 Samuel 17, beginning at verse 42. And David is actually getting ready to approach Goliath. So we're kind of at the high point of the battle. So we begin at verse 42. Vayabet ha-pelishti va-yira et David. The Philistine looked. Vayabet. What's the root?
Navat.
Notice it's a hip-field. The thing only occurs in hip-field, I think. So the Philistine looked. Va-yira. And he saw David. All right. Va-yivzehu. Can you guys see what the root of that is? That's from Baza. That's a third hey. Kal Vav consecutive. It means to despise. And it has a third masculine singular suffix at the end. So the Philistine looked and he saw David and he despised him. Why? Author's going to tell us. Ki haya na'ar. For he was a na'ar. He was a youth. Not only that, the Admoni, and he was red. Actually, Admoni means, he was ruddy, we would say, ruddy. He had the great complexion, see? So he was a Nar, and he was ruddy, Admoni. Im Yefemara. Yafa means beautiful. And so notice, with beautiful of appearance. And that would be like stiff neck, so beautiful appearance, with a beautiful appearance. He was the Brad Pitt of the ancient world. So ruddy complexion, young, great appearance. You know, and Goliath, of course, scarred, battle scarred, huge. Probably had trouble with women, and here's this guy. You know, and he doesn't like him right off the bat. Okay, any questions through verse 42? Yeah, well.
How do you know that doesn't mean red-headed instead of...
I don't.
Red-headed? Okay.
Could
mean, you know, red-headed as,
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Yeah,
and
good.
And also na'ar, that could also be servant or something like that.
Right. Here, in other contexts, it's servant. But here, it's, I think, a reference to his age. Because here's this little puny guy. And remember, even the Israelite army, even Saul had said, you can't go out there. You're just a kid. You've never even been in battle. And here you are. You know, it's like... you're in the grandstands, all of a sudden they ask you to pitch for the Yankees. It's like, wait a minute, you're just a kid. All right? Verse 43. Vayomer ha-pelishti el David. And the Philistine said to David, oh, this is good. Ha-kelevano ki ata ba elai ba maklot? Notice the hey is an interrogative hey. Kelev is the word for dog. Okay? Anoki is I. So, ha kelev anoki. Am I a dog? Kiata, that you, ba, have come. Notice that that's just from Bo. I'm sorry, that would probably be a participle from Bo. That you are coming to me. Ba maklot, with sticks. All right, notice, remember, dogs, you usually come after them with sticks, and he probably is just making a reference to his staff, and he has no weapons, remember? He just comes out there with his shepherd's stuff. But you're coming out to me with maklot? And remember, Goliath had the shield bearer in front of him, and he was fully dressed in armor. So the contrast, he hated the contrast. See, what do you think I am? Some kind of dog? Look at me. Okay? Vayekal el ha-pelishti et David be-lohav. And the Philistine cursed by Yekalel, Piel, imperfect Vav, consecutive from Kalal, to curse. So the Philistine cursed David Be-lohav, by his god or gods. Maybe by his gods here, since he was a pagan. Okay? Questions through 43.
It could, yeah, be by David's god, or like...
Oh!
I mean, just like, which way does the...
Where's the pronoun go? That's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. Because you could actually translate it, the Philistine cursed David along with his God.
Yeah.
That's nice. I kind of like that too. So that's possible, yeah. I don't know which one would actually be the best. Good. Any other questions there? So if he curses him a lot, as God, you know he's in trouble. Verse 44. Vayomer ha-pelishti el David. Then the Philistine said to David, Lekha Eli, come to me. Lekha, notice that that is a call, imperative from what root?
Halak.
Halak. And notice it has the hey at the end. Usually you see those on cohortatives, but you also see them on imperatives, especially an imperative like this, in which the speaker wants you to do something for him or to his advantage or with his own interest in mind. So notice Goliath kind of has his own self in mind. Come to me, see? You can almost see emotion. Come on. Come and get me. See? That's probably how I translate it. Come and get me. Okay? Ve'etna et besarika le'ov ha'shamayim u'la behemat ha'sadeh. Ooh. Come to me, ve'etna, so that I might give. From Natan. So that I might give besarika, your flesh, le'ov, to the bird of the heavens. Here is the collective. We would, in English, say to the birds of the heavens. U'la behemat ha'sadeh. And to the beast, collective, to the beasts of the earth. So notice he's ready to feed him to the animals, to the wolves, so to speak, as we would say in English. All right? That ends the paragraph there. Any questions? All right, verse 45. Vayomer David el ha-pelishti. Then David said to the Philistine. Notice how the narrator's kind of slowing us down here. He's first of all saying Vayomer, 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 and he's kind of all the action has stopped while this conversation goes on. So it's kind of an indication he's not skipping stuff. So he's really directing our focus to the stuff that's going on. So we're kind of really slowing down the action here, okay? As he builds up to the final confrontation. So then David said to the Philistine, Ha'ata. Ha'at ba'elai becherev u ba'chanit u ve'kidom. Alright. You, Ata, ba, are coming to me. So notice kind of there's a dispute over who's coming to whom. You are coming to me becherev, with a sword and with a chanit and with a spear u ve'kidom and with a javelin. Ve'anoki ba'eleka, but I am coming to you beshem Yahweh Tzevaot Elohim Ma'ar Kot Yisrael, in the name of Yahweh of hosts, pause, the God of Ma'ar Kot, the God of the battle lines of Israel, whom Cherafta, whom you have despised, from Charaf or reproach. This is a PL perfect second common singular from Charaf, whom you have reproached. Alright. Questions on 45.
It might be that, you know, before Josh made the point, it was, you know, he despised David and his God. Mm-hmm. You know, he reproached his God.
Yep.
You know, so it might be that.
Yep. Yeah, he might be saying that. That's what I like of that.
Yeah.
Good. Because you figure for 40 days, Goliath had been saying something out there when he came every day, and it's probably a lot about his God. So there you go. Verse 46. Hayom hazeh yasagerka Yahweh beyadi vehikitka vahasiroti et roshka me'aleka. This day, hayom hazeh, the day of this day, he will yasagerka, he will shut you in. Sagar means to shut up, and this is a PL. The Lord will shut you into my hand. We would kind of say, shut you up in my power, you know, Yadi. Vehikiteka. Now here he explains it. And so almost as if to say, that is, I will smite you. Hifil from Naka, first common singular. Notice that the yud for the T ending is not there. Sometimes you'll see it, sometimes you don't. All right, so Yahweh will shut you up into my hand, and that is, I will smite you. Vahasiroti. Great Japanese form here. What's the root?
Sur.
From sur. Hippil from sur. Like Hakimoti. Hasiroti. Great Japanese forms. That's what my former prof used to describe these forms as. And I will... Notice sur means intransitive in the call to turn away. If you turn away from something, in the Hippil it becomes transitive. I will remove... I love this in English. I will remove Roshka, your head, Me'aleka, from you. So no, it translates very well, just kind of woodenly like that. I will remove your head from you, Venatati, and I will give Peger, the corpse. But I think it's collective here. The corpses of the Machane Pelishtim this day. And I will give the corpses of the camp of the Philistines today, Hayom Hazeh, to the to the birds of the heavens, and to the Chayat Ha'aretz, and to the wild beasts of the land, that Yedu Kol Ha'aretz, and all the land will know, from Yada, notice, and all the land will know that Yesh Elohim LeYisrael, that there is a God, LeYisrael. To Israel or for Israel. Notice that I would translate that lamed kind of with the force of date of advantage. There is a God for Israel. All right. Even though up to this point it looked as if God had deserted Israel. See. All right. Questions? Yeah.
Is the normal construction with that though, with the Yesh and the lamed, you know, like Israel has a God? Would you say that? You know, like if it was anything else?
Yeah, you could. That's another way to translate it. See, and all the land will know that Israel has a God. So the Yesh plus Lamed, kind of more in a possessive sense, and that's also possible. Very, very much so. Okay. Verse 47. Vayedu kol kahal hazeh, and all this congregation, kahal. Notice that the Greek word that translates that is ekklesia. This is the normal way that that word is translated. And all this congregation will know, ki lo becherev uvachanit Yehoshua Yahweh, that not by sword or by spear does Yahweh Yehoshia save. What's the root of Yehoshia? Yasha, very good. And this is the Hifil imperfect form. So not by sword or spear does Yahweh save. Ki la ha milchama. For to Yahweh is the war. The war is, or the battle. For the battle belongs to Yahweh. In other words, it's not just the weapons he uses. The whole thing, I think, is under his control. All right? Venatan et kem beyadein nu. And he will put you into our hand. Alright. Questions in verse 47. Alright, 48.
Question.
Yeah, please.
Underneath Yahweh in verse 47,
yes.
The Lamed, there's a tempata. Does that mean that it's definite? The Yahweh is definite?
Oh, not necessarily, no. Because in forms like this, sometimes they will, especially if they're accented on the first syllable, you'll see the patak under there where there's not necessarily a definite article.
Okay.
Right.
Well, wouldn't that also be because you're going to have a half patak under the first letter because it's Adonai?
Yes. And that's what's happening there, right? You get the accent, the vowel under the yud is gone when you put it there, and so you get that la, yeah, la Adonai. And you're right about that too, Ben. You're actually going to say la Adonai, or in this case, la Shema. Sometimes the convention, I think, that you will see is actually the Aramaic Shema, the name. And so sometimes you'll see the pointing on Yahweh a little different depending on the word that follows it, where it is Adonai, but most commonly it's Shema here, and I think that's what it is here. Okay. Now verse 48, kind of interesting grammatical thing you see fairly common in 1 Samuel. V'haya ki kam ha-pelishti. Now notice v'haya. Out of context, what's your first move to translate that?
And it was?
Well, no. And it will be. And it will be. We would expect Vayahi here. But again, I think that this is an example of more colloquial, substandard Hebrew coming to the fore. We saw that way back in 1 Samuel 1, and we've seen it just a few other times through our reading here. Whether it is, and remember, this kind of form became more common. The Vav consecutive became less common in later Hebrew. So the possibility is that a scribe kind of made this change, and it's part of the scribal tradition, or that it's always been part of this. Another theory is that it's always been part of the spoken language. It's standard Hebrew tended to use Vayahi more, but here you're seeing a spoken or more substandard Hebrew coming out. So I would just translate it, and it came to pass, but I wouldn't, you know, that's what it means. And it happened that Kam HaPelishti, the Philistine rose from Kum, Vayelech, and he came from Halak, Vayikrav, and he drew near, or he approached from Karav, again, Vav consecutive. Notice how those are all being used there. And he drew near Likrat, to meet David. That Likrat is an infinitive construct from Kaf Resh Aleph, Karav, which usually means to call or to name, but another meaning is to meet, to happen onto, and you'll see it with this infinitive construct with the Tav ending. And we've seen it before in our narrative. So he came near to meet David. All right, and David begins to scramble. Va yemaher David, and David scrambled. Mahar means to go quick or to be quick. Here's a PL. And so David made haste, if you want to do good King James. I would say David hustled. Okay? Vayaratz ha-ma'araka. And he ran ha-ma'araka to the battle line. Vayaratz is what, from what root? From roots. Very good. Call imperfect vav consecutive. And with the locative hey at the end of... that's just a feminine ending anyway of ha-ma'araka. And he ran to the battle line, Likrat, to meet ha-pelishti, to meet the Philistine. Alright? Verse 49, Vayishlak David et yado el ha-keli. And David, now notice, you know this word is to send. David sent his hand to the vessel. Well, really, it's here you'd have to translate it in English. And David put his hand... into his bag, his gear. Remember, he had the stones stored in that pouch, part of his vestments of a shepherd. So he put it in there from Hakeli, Vayikach Misham Evan. And he took from Sham there an Evan, a stone. Okay, Vayekala. Notice the verb, it's very, notice all the verbs here. He put his hand into the gear, and he took from there a stone, and he slung. Kala. P-L, imperfect vav consecutive. Kala means to sling. Kela is the slingshot itself. And he slung. And notice the object is understood, slung the Evan. He slung the stone, shortest but sweetest word in the whole thing. Vayak. From Naka. And it struck et ha-pelishti, the Philistine, el mitzcho, at his forehead. Metzach, forehead. Va, now here it goes, now it gets gruesome. Va titba, from tava, to sink. This is the word that's used in the narrative of the Exodus. They sunk like stones, tava. So va, and referring to the Evan, va titba, and it's, and ha Evan, the stone sunk be mitzcho, into his forehead. So you remember those pictures when you're in Sunday school of the, I still see the guy standing there with his stone right there, boom, stuck in. It's like, whoa, man, that had to hurt. Stuck into his forehead. Va yipo al panav artza, and he fell from nafal on his face. Artsa, to the ground. He was out cold. All right. Good, I'm going to stop there. And we'll see what happens in the aftermath of the battle. So notice the startling turn. That's why I love this story. I mean, Goliath is so strong and so overpowering. And all of a sudden you hear David scrambled, took a stone, slung it, boom, he's dead. Like, boom, all of a sudden he's... Well, I don't know if he's dead yet, but he's on the ground. You know, it's like, oh, man. All of a sudden, the ninth inning, two outs, the guy hits a grand slam. Won't happen tonight against Cleveland. Take it easy, you guys.